What's going on, everybody? Happy Tuesday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets, powered by FCN, presented by Game Plus Network. Chris Meany here with you. Thanks, as always, for taking the time to hang out. This is the first time in a while we've been on Game Plus. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to do the show yesterday. Allergy season. I have brutal allergies. I mean, I'm popping allergy pills all the time, and I just can't take care of it. It kind of is what it is. So I think yesterday would have been an awful show with, you know, just looking at me and sneezing nonstop. So I couldn't do it. I had to take the time out. But we're happy to be back here today. Do appreciate you guys hanging out with us and the patience for sure for starting a few minutes a little bit late. Yes, Labatt season and allergy season here on Mean Streets. A lot to get to here on this show. There's only six games on the ice. We're going to talk about a couple NHL plays, some goal scorers, some shot props, and pick a couple sides as well a little bit later on in the show. Tina's going to drop by. There's a lot I kind of want to address. So if you've been hanging out with us on Game Plus, you know, you haven't seen the show in a little bit. We've been doing it live here and there over at our FTN YouTube page. So we always ask you guys to hop on over there if you have any questions, anything you want us to address on this show. It could be literally anything, and we will address it for you guys. Yeah, have any questions, you can leave them there in the YouTube section. Smash the like button. This show is also available on iTunes and Spotify as well. If we ever don't make it on Game Plus and you need to get your Tino fix, he is in here in a little bit. We're going to recap a bunch of things. I want to talk about the NBA All-Star Game. Steph Curry, amazing show. I mean, he jacked up like 26 shots from beyond the arc, but he's still like where he shot those balls from. And he was, you know, he was cooking. He was awesome in that game. He's the MVP. The dunk contest was just absolutely pathetic. It was brutal. Got to get Tino's thoughts on all of that. We are going to start to turn the page here officially. MLB season. I know that it seems like they're not close to having a deal and to getting this MLB season started on time, but that's not going to stop us here on the show. I'm confident that they will eventually get things going here, whether they miss the first couple weeks or not remains to be seen, but I believe that we'll have an MLB season and we'll have it on time. But maybe I'm naive, I don't know, but we'll talk everything here over the next 6 weeks, everything from high stakes fantasy baseball rankings. I'm putting together some rankings now. We got a ton of MLB content over at ftnfantasy.com, and it's coming out every day. I think our guy Matty Wood is coming out with some projections here today. Of course, Vlad Sedler's got a ton of content. We got a 130-page MLB draft kit live, and content is continuing to roll every single day. So we'll talk some rankings, bounce back players, sleepers, busts as we start to get into draft season. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about MLB futures as well as home run futures, and we'll get into some Cy Young stuff. Not today, but maybe a little bit later on in the week. I do have three hockey guests lined up for the rest of the week, so we will have a lot of NHL content on this show moving forward as well. The NBA is off until Thursday. They have a heck of an all-star break, right? The NHL has the weekend off. The NBA, it's like, here you go. Here's the week. Take it off. You guys have been working pretty hard. We'll get back at it on Thursday. So we will address the NBA on Thursday, but there is a lot that I wanted to get to on the show. Aaron Rodgers is retiring. What was that message on Instagram yesterday? Almost as silly as the Last Dance. One more go, him and Davante Adams. This guy just wants attention. I don't know. Maybe he's dishing out thank yous everywhere to everybody. I can't see him retiring, but reading that note on his Instagram made me think that he was done in Green Bay, but we've been here before. We'll see. Got to get Tino's thoughts on that as well. A couple things. Sam Wallace, finally, back in the chat. Happy Taco Tuesday, everybody. FTN getting involved over at PrizePicks as well with the Taco Tuesday. We'll have some plays, free plays over at our FTN free pick tracker, ftndaily.com. I saw a couple on there. Matthew Boldy, 2.5. Speaking of Matthew Boldy, 2.5 shots. It's really the only place I can find him, Prize Picks. But I want to give some love to the free newsletter. If you haven't yet signed up, we've been given some free picks. This is the free pick of the day here today. I like the Minnesota Wild. Maybe the Ottawa Senators will break our hearts yet again. EY, of course, is on the Ottawa Senators. Dangle Batselli is live over at FTN YouTube page. You can watch that. Eric and I broke down all six games in the NHL. But with the FTN Bets newsletter, you can head on over to ftnbets.com/newsletter and you can sign up for free. You get a free play daily. We've been rolling with the hockey because there's been no NBA, but a lot of sharp minds over at FTMBets.com. We've just been rotating through some of the sports. So I went with the Wild here. I wanted to give a plus money play puck line for Minnesota to win by two goals here tonight in Ottawa against the Sens. Senators are going to get Thomas Chabot back, but I still like this Minnesota Wild team. Obviously, Kirill the Thrill, Dollar Dollar Bill Kaprizov in there on the cover, but I really like what they have to offer, you know, with three lines that can really roll. And I'm really liking that second line with Kevin Fiala and Matthew Boldy. So I am taking Minnesota. I think they're also in play to win in 60 at minus 145. I think that is a decent bet as well. But with those, with that free newsletter, not only do you get a free pick, but articles, content, a little peek at some of the tools that we have to offer as well. Sens money line today. Cecil Peters in the house. He is going to join us tomorrow on this show, and we're going to talk NHL and also get some golf picks from him as well. Another super sharp hockey mind. It's going to be a lot of hockey here on this show this week. Don't come at me with the Sens money line, Cecil. I know you've been hot fire this year. I don't want to hear it, dude. I don't want to hear that, but we will get Cecil in here tomorrow to talk about a couple things. He's a big Flames guy, so we'll transition into the three stars from last night. We've been talking a lot about the Calgary Flames over the last month. Our Flames, George's Falms. Elias Lindholm is there as one of the three stars. I had to get him in there as one of the three stars just because he extended his goal streak yesterday and his point streak. So he's got goals in eight straight games, got nine over that span, ties a franchise record with Kent Nielsen and Gary Roberts. Remember Gary Roberts? Back in, I think, the early 90s, he had that franchise record. Also extended his point streak to 10 consecutive games. And also the Flames, another W last night, 10 straight wins. They've only allowed more than two goals in one of those games. We gave Jacob Markstrom on this show as a Vezina bet at 22-1, I believe. He's now 5-1, plus 650 over at DraftKings. We also gave the Flames a 25-1 there, now 14-1 to win the Cup. We got in on them at the right time, just before they acquired Tyler Toffoli and just before they really went on this run. You know, they beat some pretty good teams on this run as well. You know, they beat Dallas. They spanked Vegas 6-0. They crushed the Leafs the very next night. You know, some of the wins lately, not so much. Anaheim, Columbus, Seattle. But this is a team that's rolling. What's different about them this year is just the offensive firepower that they have, led by that top line with Lindholm, Johnny Hockey, and Matthew Tkachuk. And, of course, the second line with Backlund has been really good with Mangiapane. Then you add Toffoli, and it just gives them a lot of depth. I don't even think Toffoli was playing on the power play the other night. That's just how much depth they have, and he scored an empty net goal there for them yesterday to seal that W. So the Flames are hot, red hot. Really, really feel them, too. Absolutely. We were in on before this winning streak. I think there's still time to get in. I still think there's value. Seen 16-1 on FanDuel, 14-1 for most spots. Had to give a little bit of love to Josh Anderson and the Habs, of course, yesterday with the big W against the Leafs. But for Josh Anderson, we're just seeing, I'm seeing a different team. What I'm seeing that's different about Montreal, you know, this past week as opposed to the first couple of months of the season, more importantly, I guess the last month, was just Dom Ducharme lost the room, right? We said it a couple times. He lost the room. There was no effort. You know, guys like Petrie were calling out Ducharme, no system, yada, yada. We're just seeing effort across the board from some of these players. And Josh Anderson, you know, from a fantasy standpoint, you got to be playing a league with hits really to have any value for you. But he has been showing up lately, just like Cole Caulfield. So he's got goals in two games here, three goals over that span. He's got 11 shots over that span as well. And for Cole Caulfield, he's got five goals in six games with Martin St. Louis. He had one in 30 with Ducharme. He's got points in three straight, six over that span. He's cleared 2.5 shots in three of his past four games as well. So a little love to that top line, Suzuki in there as well. That's really all Montreal has to offer. I will say that Jeff Petrie looks like the Jeff Petrie of old. He's hanging around season-long leagues as well. He's been just like the Petrie that had 40-plus points in 3 years prior to this crappy campaign for him, but he has turned it around lately. And then David Pastrnak, the big game for the top line in Boston. They had combined for 8 points and 17 shots on goal. They all cleared their shot prop. Pastrnak had 8 shots. I think Bergeron had 8 or 7, and Taylor Hall had 3 in there as well. So Pasta, 2 goals, 3 points over the Colorado Avalanche, which, you know, it was a pretty impressive win, and they dominated that game from start to finish. They looked really, really good. Yes, Mike is in the house. Convery says Caulfield for the fourth star. If we were given a 4-star, we probably would give it to Cole Caulfield, but I had to give a lot of love to Elias Lindholm there. What he's doing and the Flames are doing, pretty impressive stuff. But Caulfield does look like a new guy under Martin St. Louis. We talked about him last week. He played 20 minutes is the most he's played all season long. He had over 5 minutes power play time as well. He had only played one game over 17 minutes in the 30 games with Ducharme. And this is a number he's averaging now with St. Louis. So they're giving him a lot of opportunity. We've got 10 minutes here in this first segment. We do have to bring in Tino, kind of recap a little bit, NBA, get some NFL thoughts from him as well. But like I said, this show is mostly going to be a lot of MLB futures, but hang around. We do have some more NHL picks and some goal scorers towards the end of Mean Streets. Don't go anywhere. We'll continue things here next on Game Plus Network. Welcome back to Mean Streets here live on a Game Plus Network. Chris Meany and Tino Rodriguez here with you. Have you guys signed up for the free FTM Bets newsletter yet? You had some time in between the break? Do it. Do it. Absolutely do it. We have been pretty hot recently. I think three straight last night with the over. Montreal, Toronto, plus money, 6.5. Taylor Hall, 2.5 shots. And Teuvo Teravainen and 2.5 shots. And I just saw our guy, Javi Perlez. I wanted to give him a bit of a shout out. Him and Freshy, we may have to talk some esports on this show, Tino, moving forward. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not going to give the esports advice, that's for sure. But I saw Javi tweet that they're on day 5 of esports betting over at ftmbets.com. And between them, they're at 12.7 units. So pretty good stuff there from Sean. Freshy, a shout out. He is 10-2, up 6 units, and Javi is 7-4, up 6 units as well. With the FTM betting package, you get all the picks, all the sports from everybody over at ftmbets.com, Discord channel, and everything. Happy Tuesday, sir. Did you have a good weekend? What's up, man?
I had a good weekend. Trey Young ripped my heart out in a parlay, but you mentioned the three-point contest. I could let the people at home know I had a 500-1 ticket, put $5 on it. Had Trey Young as the last leg to win the three-point contest, decided to hedge. Obviously took the longest shot dog with Cat Towns to win it. So, I mean, made a few shekels on that. Nice, wish nice. I hedged with a little bit more. It's better than nothing. And I also want to encourage to sign up for the newsletter, even though the entire chat's blowing up, including myself, on the Senators now that we picked the Wild. Even though the newsletter pick is a Wild puck line, I still want to go with it, even though it seems like there's a lot of Senators momentum coming our way right now. They are pesky, though, Meany. They are pesky. You know
they are the pesky Sens. Yes. Cecil jumps in here with the Sens. Of course, Eric Young is all over the Sens as well. Mm-hmm. They are a team that hangs around. I'll give them that. And a couple times here on this show, we have bet against them, and they have burned us for sure. Mm-hmm. But I'm on this Wild squad, man. Yeah. They've pretty much dominated every team in the NHL over the past 2.5 months besides the Winnipeg Jets. And they got smashed at home by the Florida Panthers, which that just happens. Put this comment up from Sam Wallace, our guy. How about this? I didn't know this. 7 of the last 9 free bets have won. Not bad. I think one of those losses is one of mine. Is one of mine. Who knows? It may have been the Sens to lose. But I'm going back to them. I was thinking maybe Minnesota in 60 at minus 145. Or, spoiler alert, I like Troy Terry today at plus 130. I wanted to give a plus money bet. So it is what it is in there. What did you make of the All-Star weekend? Obviously, I thought the game was pretty entertaining. I liked getting to that target point. I thought, like, the way that it wrapped up, I mean, I was on the edge of my seat for an All-Star game, which I'm normally not. And as opposed to, you know, there's 2 minutes left in the game and it's a tie game. Just to get to that target 163, it was back and forth. And, of course, I thought it was pretty fitting that King James sealed it in Cleveland. I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, we did mention on the show when we were kind of talking about the game on Friday that we knew there was a rule difference. I was like going at it with you. I was like, I don't know what it is. I think they played a 21. It was a 24 for Kobe, and that LeBron's team was better, but taking the points. Cause like with how the concept is, it doesn't really matter what you do in the first three quarters. Obviously if there's a blowout, then the team going to 24 in the fourth quarter is a lot easier, but I did take Team Durant plus 6, but I felt good on LeBron. Yeah. LeBron's team winning. It was weird. It's just like I'm going to take 6 points in it. They're just playing a game to 24, right? They're NBA players. Although Team LeBron was controlling that quarter and tried to blow it there. They just kept giving the ball to Steph because he wanted to break the record, which is cool.
Yeah.
It was good. I like that the skills contest, they changed it up a little bit. I didn't realize it would just come down to a half-court shot, which I guess is interesting, right? Like what were the other – you know, contest for if it comes down to a half-court shot. But I didn't mind it because I like that the big men got some love. Dude, the big men never get love. This weekend, I guess the takeaway is that don't forget about them, right? I mean, Evan Mobley hit the half-court shot. They had Jared Allen on there shooting threes. Cat wins a three-point contest. So, yeah, some love to the big men in the other competitions. And then obviously, you know, the slam dunk contest was underwhelming, to say the least. I think it was the worst one as of late, to be honest. I know that's not a hot take, but it was kind of unwatchable, no? I mean, how many missed dunks can we watch?
What do you mean,
row?
No? It was the worst thing I've ever seen. It was atrocious, man. It was brutal. It was absolutely pathetic. And I feel for the guys that are trying and clearly, you know, under the spotlight, and they're trying to do something, you know, unique and cool. But it was brutal. They need to change up the format. They certainly need to have the three-point competition last, because that's the marquee event, in my opinion. Like, that's it, man. It's been great over the past couple of years. It's super fun. It's exciting. I wish it was on Cat, too. We talked CJ McCollum just taking the long odds and taking a guy like that. I feel like a sucker not getting on Cat, who was at one moment, I think, 12-1 or 11-1 I saw before that event got underway. But I think that's the marquee event of the night. That should be last. I don't know, man. I'm willing to scrap the dunk contest and just have it every 2 years or something, just to get maybe more excitement of it, or maybe just change up the format a little bit. It was tough to watch, and it was also tough to hear the commentators just rip it the whole time. Like Wade and Miller and, oh my God, they're just...
Well,
they're
Shaq's
just
face,
ripping it the entire time.
The meme that was going around was Shaq's face from when he had the camcorder watching the dunk, like, what, like 15 years ago to what it is now, and just disgust. Also, I didn't like, if it's going to be bad, let it be bad. But them letting Jalen Green, who was obviously an odds-on favorite, or the betting favorite, not an odds-on favorite, to win the thing, go like, what? How many times could he attempt a dunk without them calling it off? It was that's what set it off. That was the first dunk, and he went like 10 times. It's like, dude, just... Give him a zero. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, the guy's not making his dunk. So, it was brutal. I also do like, though, in the three-point contest, they added that Mountain Dew spot. But I was thinking, let's take it a step further. Now, I know not everyone has Steph Curry rage. Let's back it up a little bit more, though. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that far apart from where the regular three-points were. I wouldn't mind them adding, like, something like – but I know it's time, so you got to do it in rhythm. But – I did like that they had that Mountain Dew spot. That's worth a few more points than the other one. So I think what they're doing with the three-point contest, to what you said, is exciting. And it's kind of any man's game, which is good, right? I mean, Cat won. Joe Harris beat Stephen Curry like years ago. Steph obviously won last year. But it's like, you never really know. So, and you definitely don't know because Trae Young lost this year. And I'm still not over that. But all in all, it was all right. The game made up for it. The game definitely made up for the rest of the weekend, which was cool.
Can we rank All-Star, like, the big four? I know Josh Donaldson came out yesterday or the day after. I think it was yesterday. He just said that basically that the NBA All-Star game was a joke. He said the NHL All-Star game was second to the MLB. I thought that was interesting because the NHL All-Star game itself is an absolute joke. I think the NBA All-Star game is a little bit better, certainly the MLB. I would rank the weekends MLB, I think, with this slam dunk. NFL is last. I mean, they don't even – it's like flag football now.
No.
Right? It's flag football now. NFL's the worst. I used to be NBA, 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 but I think it's just the sour taste in my mouth with the slam dunk contest. The MLB is always fun. You got the home run derby in there, and the game is competitive. You know, it has been competitive anyways. You get a little bit of taste of everybody, like all the pitchers getting in there as well, even if it's just an inning. But the NHL All-Star game itself is a bit of a joke, but I do like the skills. So I think the skills is fine. But, man, yeah, NBA needs to do something. I think it was Kenny. It was Kenny Smith who was just like, man, he was ripping everybody. He's like, does he really need to have another go at this? Like, it was embarrassing to an extent. That's all. I don't think – let's just get away from the NBA for a little bit.
But I will – yeah, we can go Rodgers. I will echo, though, MLB is definitely at the top, but Donaldson's point was more that there's no way to not take that serious because you're seeing 100 either way, right? So that's the real difficulty. In the NBA, there's no defense. NHL, NFL – they don't play defense. In MLB, you don't really have a choice, right? You're seeing 100 either way. It's coming at you. You got to hit it. You got to field it. You can't – I mean, like, you can, you know, loosen up at the plate a little bit and kind of swing for the fences, but it's kind of hard to change, you know, the level of difficulty. You know, it's always going to be hard to hit a baseball going 100 miles an hour. I mean, the NBA All-Star game is just kind of fast breaks going back and forth, which is insane. But I will say – what Steph was doing was insane. I mean, can we?
It was
just
pretty special.
I mean, insane. He was turning away at half court. He was just throwing
I know.
Him up.
That shot that he had at half when he shot it right away and turned around. I mean, as I like it. I was on board with that. I mean, I'm not impressed that he had 50 points. He jacked up 26 for me on the arc, but 26 or 27, whatever, how many shots he had. But where he was shooting them from and where he was hitting was pretty special. It's what people want to see. And that's the moment. That's the time to kind of break that out, even though he does that, you know, in games with games on the line. But that's the kind of, he's changed the game. Yeah. We'll say that, right? He's certainly changed the game. And it's, I mean, he's super fun though. He's must watch, like, across all sports. Like, he's a, I'm thinking about all the sports, like one guy, like if I want to watch one guy across all the sports, it's probably Steph that I want to watch.
It was also hilarious that Cleveland chirped him the entire weekend. And then all of a sudden he wins the All-Star MVP. So, yeah, that's that.
Should we break? Let's break. We still have, let's keep the balance of the show. We still have a couple NHL segments. We got some MLB stuff, just kind of touch on Rodgers just a little bit. And we will, Steph might be the real kid from Akron.
He actually is from Akron, if I'm not mistaken. Well, he's from Cleveland, I think. Or no.
Yeah.
We'll see where Steph is actually from. He's from Ohio. So least got that. I know that. So
yeah, I think George is right. We'll be back here. Mean Streets continues here on Game Plus Network. Keep her locked. Chris Meany and Tino Rodriguez here with you. We are watching Mean Streets on Game Plus Network. Yes, Steph is from Akron. Also, I thought it was pretty cool to see Jordan there too. Sometimes you just see Jordan, you know, in the press box. You don't really get to see him, you know, down on the court or like the spotlight kind of on him. Obviously, they introduced him and, you know, he gave the thumbs up a couple times. He got a great standing O from the fan base in Cleveland. And there was a cool moment there with him and LeBron. And both of the guys, they were just like kind of in awe of each other. Like LeBron, obviously, I could see the little sparkle in his eye when he's hugging Jordan. And then I could see the smile on Jordan. And I don't know what he said because the camera wasn't picking up what he said, but you could see LeBron, like, I appreciate that, man. They gave them a couple taps. I thought that was pretty cool to see those two guys. I'm a big Jordan guy. And
the beautiful thing was that he came from Daytona right before that. Everyone was just like, he's not making it. Jordan just does whatever he wants, and then he ends up making it, which I think is why everyone freaked out, because they saw it on social media and didn't think he'd be there. And then what was funny, too, is because like of how huggable he was and how like happy he was. And I was like, we've never seen this from Jordan before. So he either hit a bet backstage or he hit a bet at Daytona. Something must have happened. And then the meme of them playing cards, and they were like, all of a sudden Jordan shows up after he sees him playing cards in the locker room. I mean, it's great. Endless memes. It was really nice, though, to see the NBA 75 and just seeing how humbled a lot of these star athletes were, and just seeing the perspectives and, like, you know, the guys like Shaq and Chuck who were on the broadcast who made it, and them just talking about the guys before them. You never really see it in that light, which, you know, you see who paved the way. Chuck's talking about Moses Malone. Shaq's talking about Kareem. So even for a younger guy like me, you know, who kind of grew up with Shaq, it's like these are the guys before him who really kind of guided this man. So really, really cool to, you know, to see the history of the NBA all there in one night.
Yeah, absolutely. And even Jordan kind of chirping Magic too, like a little one-on-one. Like, you got your shoes, boy? Like let's go. He definitely hit a bet. He definitely hit a bet. He was feeling himself pretty good. Maybe it was the Daytona 500, which he did hit. I don't want to spend too much time on Rodgers, my goodness. We'll have, like, I think days and weeks to kind of break this down. But I don't know. What did you make of his hashtag Monday Night Gratitude post late last night? He was giving shout-outs to the Friday crew. You know, his. I mean, he gave a little bit of love to Cobb in there, of course, Devontae Adams. And he was talking Jordan Love, you know, Nathaniel Hackett, who's no longer there anymore. Just the quarterback room every day. It just felt like he was, I don't know if he's seeking attention. I mean, I'm sure he probably is a little bit. It did seem like reading that post, Tino, that it's like, if I just forget about last year and the drama with Rodgers and everything he's leaving Green Bay, and I'm just a loose NFL fan and I'm looking at this post and I'm reading it, I feel like he's given some gratitude to certain guys, certainly, but also felt like it was just like a goodbye. I'm done here in Green Bay. I don't know. What did you make of it? Is this a Aaron Rodgers being
the first thing, this is the most Aaron Rodgers thing I can think of. He made his own hashtag, Monday Night Gratitude. Where did that come from? It doesn't even rhyme. Like, we have Taco Tuesday going on tonight. Monday Night Gratitude. I literally looked it up on Instagram. There's less than 100 posts with the hashtag, and they're all like him. So I think they all just came out after the fact. So, yeah, I don't know. I thought it was strange. I feel like it's definitely for attention. typically you see this come around NFL draft time, right? He waits till the NFL draft and then steals the show of the draft like he did last year, a couple years before that, talking about how he's unhappy. This one was the opposite. This one seemed very happy, which is stranger. Him thanking the quarterback room is interesting because he obviously wasn't happy about the Jordan Love decision from the beginning. That's what I told you guys last night. I don't know. I really don't make anything of this. I wish I could. I didn't see anything. I know we were talking about this. He's going to be appearing on McAfee's show, you know, the steady way he always does. So maybe he throws something out there and gives an inkling of something, you know, to do with his career. But I don't really buy it. I don't see him retiring in the same year as Brady. I don't see him going out the way he did, losing at home to the San Francisco 49ers in the way he did. Like, I don't know. Like, you see how Brady's going out on a loss. Say he is done. Like, that's a game you can hang your hat on. Rodgers threw no touchdown passes. They generated zero. Like, how can you leave your career on that game? Like, I don't know. The competitor in him, I don't buy that. So I thought the post was just strange from the hashtags to the thank yous because it's not very Rodgers-esque. But I don't think it's a retirement post. I really don't read it.
I don't either. But it's classic Rodgers, though. It felt like maybe he was just kind of – maybe he just wanted to thank people. Looking at some odds over at DraftKings, he's minus 250 for the next team to be Green Bay. So really no value there. But next in line are the Broncos at plus 350. We know he's been linked to them over the past couple of years. The Niners now at 8-1. The Colts at 10-1. The Steelers at 12-1. The Bucks at 14-1. That'd be crazy for the Bucks to go from Brady to Rodgers just like that. In one season, but I do think that they will be, I think that they will be looking for a veteran quarterback. You know, you and I talked about Deshaun Watson last week over at DraftKings. They have all these, like, you know, who's the next team that they're going to play for. Do you know who is favored for Deshaun Watson to be that next team?
I'd imagine Miami or Tampa, right? I mean, those got to be the two.
Tampa's second at plus 350. Carolina's way down the board here at 16-1. I think that's an interesting bet.
Miami's at 14-1.
Washington is favored at plus 300.
Well, you know, what better organization to take someone with a controversial history than the Washington football team, or now the Commanders. I almost called them the Guardians, but that's Cleveland. Different and correct team. I got baseball in the mind. That's what it is. So,
but we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
And Russell Wilson's the last one that you can bet on. His favorite at minus 250 for Seattle. I think he stays in Seattle. Mm-hmm. The next closest is the Bucks and the Steelers at 12-1 and the Eagles at 15-1. If you believe in some of the reports, that I think it was Albert Breer said he expects Russell Wilson to be moved. And if he had a guess, it would be Philly. I just assume that guess is because the Eagles have three firsts.
And the Seahawks have nothing. I do think, though, out of all those, Aaron Rodgers to San Francisco would, one, be a wagon, and then, two, it'd be, like, poetic because he kind of holds that grudge against San Francisco. They have his number. They didn't draft him. They took Alex Smith, right? Oh, history. He's a California guy. I think that'd be a good fit. And he stays in the NFC. Now, granted, he's going to go to the West, which is pretty difficult, but, you know, 49ers hold the Rams number, too. So I think that's a really good fit, actually. What are the odds on that?
For the 49ers, Wilson?
Rodgers.
Oh, for Rodgers. Yeah, it's 8-1.
That's actually pretty good. I don't know if he'd do it. Maybe he's too proud to do it, but that's actually not a bad sprinkle.
Yeah, it's not bad. I could see the Niners maybe trading a guy like Lance to get a veteran quarterback just to win now. I think it's possible, even though they moved up to grab him for the future. But they do have a win now football team. There's no doubt about that. Like, if they had a Brady or Rodgers last year or this, you know, a few weeks ago, maybe we're talking about them being in the Super Bowl, not the Rams. Should we break again? Let's just break again and hammer home some of the MLB thoughts that we had. We had some futures and some home run derby stuff. Again, we're going to just sprinkle in a segment or two daily over the next few weeks before the MLB season starts, whether it's futures, some season-long fantasy stuff, just, you know, mostly futures over the next couple of days. But then we'll get into baseball drafts and stuff like that. We'll have Vlad and other sharp FTN minds that have already giving you guys a ton of content over at ftnfantasy.com to help you guys in your baseball draft. So one more break here, and we will get into some futures. Tino, you got some long home run shot. Man, there are...
They're not that crazy, though. They're not that crazy.
Right. There are some really intriguing names. I got these odds from DraftKings. We'll dive into them next here on Mean Streets. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back in Mean Streets live here on Game Plus Network. Chris Mean and Tino Rodriguez. So let's get into the MLB. What do you got first? I think let's do futures first. Let's just take a quick peek at the futures. We still know that there's a lot of teams that, you know, there's a lot of players that are still unsigned. Of course, the Dodgers are up at the top, but man, like 7-1. Usually I see the Dodgers, I feel like this time last year, they were like 3-1 or 4-1. So, you know, it's, I don't love to bet on the favorite, but 7-1, they're not the clear cut favorite. We'll just say that. The Yankees 9-1, always a sucker bet. The Astros 9-1, the Mets here at 10-1. We get the Blue Jays 11-1. We had the Blue Jays around the All-Star break last year in the bet tracker at 30-1. So Vegas is really on them this year heading into 2022. The White Sox, Padres, Atlanta Braves, who we did have the future on at 10-1. That was before the season started. Good on some people. I know there are some viewers and listeners here of this show who were on the Braves at 30-1, right when Acuna went down, when they acquired the, you know, guys like Jorge Soler and Eddie Rosario. You got the Rays at 15-1, Brewers at 15-1, the Red Sox are at 20-1, the Cardinals and the Giants at 25-1, the Angels at 30-1, the Phillies at 35, and I cut it off at the Mariners at 40-1. I don't think that they're legitimate World Series contenders, but they do have some nice young pieces. The staff's okay. They got Robbie Ray. You know, they're a team that could make a couple more moves, maybe when free agency kind of ramps back up. But what do you make of this list? Who stands out to you?
Well, so I want to talk. We tend to always talk about the back end of the board first, because I think the top's obviously easier to talk about, right? The Astros are the Astros. They're still loaded. I can homer about the Mets all I want. The Blue Jays seems like it's their year, and the White Sox are waiting to put it together. Until the Padres can beat the Dodgers, I don't know. Like, what are we even going to talk about there? They're kind of their own worst enemies. I do think it's interesting that, you know, you see the Red Sox. I'll shout out George here for a second. I think the Red Sox at 20-1, and I actually really like taking a sprinkle on the St. Louis Cardinals at 25-1. We're talking about a wild card playoff team last year. Their pitching isn't 100% there, but I like their roster, even with the addition of the DH. I like their bats. I think they're a better team than Milwaukee. Milwaukee is very stingy. They've been stingy for years, and they find a way to just put it together and win. But they came on late last year. I felt like St. Louis, with the hype around Arenado, that they've really got a lot of traction last year and were kind of like, you know, way too overhyped. And now they're kind of being overlooked. I think 25 is just a little aggressive for a team that made the postseason last year and was a ninth inning away from beating the Dodgers, you know, in Los Angeles. Could have, should have, would have, but they led that game for a little bit. And, you know, I just think the easiest thing to do on these future bets is look at some playoff teams that are being overlooked, and the Cardinals are exactly that. So 25-1 is enticing for me. Same thing with the Red Sox, right? Playoff team. They won a series against the Yankees. They hosted that game. 20-1 is pretty decent value. But I really like the Rays to win that division again. I'll never make sense of it, but I mean, Wander Franco is probably going to take over. I know he's highly touted. Yeah. That's no surprise. I don't need to talk the guy up much. And then their pitching, it's just like they get it done. Hopefully Glasnow comes back. Tyler Glasnow comes back healthier than ever. But, you know, the Rays are always going to be there. I think, though, the real value is probably in that central division with the Cardinals. Like, I think 25-1, like, I'm not touching Philly at 35-1. No way. I love that. Seeing that 35-1 is music to my ears, even though they do have some pitching there, like, you know, they have Bryce Harper MVP that might be able to put it together. They got to go through a lot in that division to get it done. And that's not, I don't even view the Mets like right now. I can't even put the Mets as high as they are. Like, they still got to beat the Braves. The Braves have a lot of pieces still there, as long as they get the Freddie Freeman deal done and bring some of those guys back from the World Series run, and I'll talk about one of them soon. You know, I think they'll be fine, and they get Mike Soroka back next year, so you know, right, something to consider.
There's so a couple things to kind of follow up what you said. First of all, I will say that the Red Sox at 20-1 is super appealing, right? We know that they can mash. Their offense is really great. Not a whole lot last year from Chris Sale with the injury coming back from Tommy John, but he's the key to their success, right, is Chris Sale. If we can get just 85% of Chris Sale when they won the World Series, then, I mean, that's amazing, right? You got a top 10 pitcher, upside to be a top 5 Cy Young candidate. Eovaldi can give them something. I don't know if I fully believe in Pivetta. That's my one issue with the Red Sox is the pitching staff. And we'd be honest about that. The offense is going to be a top 5 offense in baseball. George says there's rumors about Carlos Correa. There's also rumors about Trevor Story. It doesn't seem like Xander Bogaerts is going to be part of their future. I don't know if they move on from him. or not, but they do have a couple really nice young pieces too that are on the rise, and we saw glimpses from them, like Bobby Dalback, Jaren Duran. Like, they got some guys there that are up and coming. I didn't love the Hunter Renfrow and Jackie Bradley Jr. trade. I didn't totally understand that. I think it's a win for the Brewers, get a little bit of offensive firepower, because they do, to your point, they got great staff, great bullpen, great defense behind them. Renfrow will give him great defense too. Jackie Bradley was a great defender, but Renfrow he was among the leaders in assists. Like, he's a baller, man. He's got some pop inside that lineup. It's a nice addition for them. But yeah, the Red Sox at 20-1. There's the two teams that I'm staring at is those two teams with those young and up and comers is the White Sox and the Blue Jays. If you had to choose between the two, who would you go?
Jays. Give me the Blue Jays. Because so here's the thing. Well, the Blue Jays are more complete, like, than all these other teams. I think to win the AL East, you can't just mash anymore. That's how the Rays have been winning it. They're not just focused on mashing. The Yankees and Red Sox have tried this. It's not the case anymore. So it's going to come down to the Blue Jays pitching, which, yeah, you know, it's not the best, but I feel like they could put it together, right? You go out and get Gausman, you trade for Barrios, you have Ryu, won a Cy Young a couple years back. Like, those three got to hold it down. The back end doesn't look great. I mean, they have a guy in Nate Pearson,
yeah,
that is an up-and-coming arm that should be, you know, a hard thrower, but he was up and down last year. He wasn't very good. But if they can figure out the back end of the pitching staff, and now, mind you, to what you said, I think a lot of this is contingent on, we haven't really had MLB free agency yet. So right, a lot of these guys can fix their concerns. I think the Blue Jays were very apparent on what their issues were. And, you know, maybe they're not the best, right? Gausman isn't the sexiest name, but he had a heck of a year last year, and they're going out and committing to their pitching staff. They have the offense that they need. They committed to the pitching enough. If those three can hold it down, I'd rather go there than the White Sox. The White Sox, every year, they make the first round, they win the division, and then what, right? I mean, it's as simple as that for me. For a World Series bet, it's just tough, because if you look at their division odds, I think they're the heaviest favorites in a division right now. I think they're like minus 200, minus 250 on DraftKings. So, you know, it speaks wonders. I think the Tigers are next to them at like plus 700. So I think they'll get there. I just don't know. When they get to the playoffs, I don't know what happens, right? The bats kind of go cold on them. So
they really do. Another guy in the Blue Jays rotation, Alec Manoah.
Yeah,
he's the next thing. I mean, if they can get anything from Hyunjin Ryu, it looks like he's kind of he's definitely on the decline. But if they can get Gausman close to what he did last year with the Giants the past couple seasons, and then Alec Manoah, the up and coming there, and then Barrios, to your point. But I really do like this White Sox team. I want to break and get into the home runs for you, but I do like this White Sox team at 11-1. The offense can match with the Jays, and I think the difference is the chuckin'. I like Lance Lynn. I like Giolito. I think Dylan Cease is in for a good campaign as well. And then Michael Kopech, we could see him inside the rotation. I'm a believer in his upside. We'll see what happens there. Josh is hanging out. I know the Tigers aren't in the convo for World Series odds, but thoughts on the Tigers contending for the AL Central and wild card? That may be a question that we may have to address. Maybe we can get to it in the next break, or maybe we can get to it some more. But they're certainly on the rise, Josh. Mm-hmm. This is a team that I think will compete for that division. It's not a fantastic division. I do like the White Sox, but it's not. There's a lot of holes up and down. Tina, we got a break. We got two more segments to get to. Still got some NHL, and I know you got some home run stuff as well. So this is just the start of the MLB conversation. We're going to continue to do this over the next few weeks as well. So one more baseball segment here with Tino. Don't go anywhere. All right. So Josh, just taking a look at the Tigers. I know they acquired Javier Baez, right? And they also got Erod Rodriguez. Those are two nice additions there. And they do have some nice and upcoming guys. I really do like Casey Mize. I love what he has to offer as well. So I do believe the Tigers are on the rise. Maybe we can get into division odds as we move forward here. But it's exciting times to be a Detroit fan. I know you have some MLB home run stuff. I was just taking a look at some of the odds. I'll let you take it away because I know you did some research. But up at the top is Vlad, of course, at plus 750 there. He led baseball. He was tied with Salvador Perez, 48 home runs each. It was Perez who had the most homers in the second half of the season. Pete Alonso, Olsen, we don't know what team he's going to be on, but if it's not Oakland, he's going to get a boost in his power numbers for certain. Shohei there at 14-1, Perez 14, Mike Trout at 14, Devers there at 16. Anybody on this list, I know we're going to dig deeper, but anybody on this list that you would take a sprinkle on?
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, I love Vladdy. I don't want to sit here and not say don't bet Vladdy, but, you know, he is technically the chalk, right? He's at the top here. I think you got to gear towards the New York guys. How Joey Gallo has the same odds as Aaron Judge is disrespectful. And not to say anything about Salvador Perez, I think that's an overreaction line. I don't think he should be 14-1. I know he erupted last year, but, you know, if you follow Sally's career, I just don't think 48 home runs is in his future this year. So 14-1, I think that's a waste of a bet. Devers is interesting at 16-1, but I know he loves to go to average. But you gravitate towards Pete and Aaron Judge because they've done it before. They're 50-bomb guys. Granted, they did it their rookie years. Judge hasn't necessarily done it again. And Pete's kind of hit for average and worried about his strikeouts a little bit. So maybe that dips his numbers a little bit. But I think I go to the New York guys. And then obviously Shohei's there. I get nervous to talk Shohei because, like, he's so good, and it's like, I don't know what we're going to see this year. I hope he stays this way. You and me both know, right? As great as last year was, we know what it was before that, right? There was a reason he was 40-1 last year to win the MVP. So I hope he can put it together again. I do have some longer shots, though, that we can get to if you let me pull up.
Let's do it. Morning. Yeah, let's do it.
So my favorite bet right now. So the first thing I thought of when I thought, all right, home run leaders, what am I going to do first? All right. Let's go to the Astros and who's going to lead the Astros in home runs this year. I love Yordan Alvarez at 18-1, man. I really do. This guy hasn't played a full season in the MLB yet. 144 games last year and hit 33 bombs. He hit 27 in 87 games in 2019, which is absurd. Hits for average. His strikeouts were up last year, but I think if he gets 162 games in with this team, I think there's just a really good chance he explodes for 40, 45. And last year with 48 getting it done, like, I just think he can get himself around the 40 home run mark, and that's just kind of where you want to be in order to do this. I just love him at 18-1. I think he's kind of overlooked. People are forgetting about the Astros again, as they always do. And then they just end up on top of the Central, as you know, as always. So I think Yordan Alvarez is great. And then there's a couple guys that I like that aren't on these boards. So he's the only one on the board that I like, and I'm just going to mention it. Jorge Soler at 33-1. I think his odds are where they are right now because he's not signed with the team. If he comes back with the Braves and is their DH, we're talking about a guy who could have won the home run title if Pete Alonso didn't hit 53 bombs his rookie year. He hit, right. let's just roll back to it, 48 in the only season he played 162 games. Exactly, yeah. Right? So if I think the key thing for this home run thing is find the consistency and you got to get lucky with health. But 48 bombs and he's only played 100 games twice in his career. And that one, this is the only game he played more than 100. He played 101 with Chicago. He played 162 one time, 48 bombs. I think at 33-1, that's exceptional value. And then the other guy I really want to sprinkle on because we forgot about him, and he's just consistent. I don't know if he'll ever hit this peak and get to 40, and that's my issue with him. But at 50-1, I'm taking a sprinkle on him. It's a little Paul Goldschmidt action. I think everyone looks at Nolan Arenado. I told you I like the Cardinals. Look, Goldie had a down year last year, and he had 31 home runs and 99 RBIs. His best season with the Cards, he had 34 home runs. He hasn't had more than 36, but he mashes, man. He mashes. I like going with the consistency. Again, games played, he's been there 158. And let's see, I mean, since 2015, he's done it in all but one season. So he'll be on the field. I think he'll be on a good team. He'll have RBI opportunities. And I think he mashes. He's had 30 home runs in each of the last five seasons other than 2020, which, you know, we don't really count. So I think he'll be there. And at 50-1, it's a nice little play. But I love Jorge Soler. I love it. Like, I think it's a great bet at 33-1, man.
Jordan Alvarez written down here at 18-1. I love that call as well. Like, the guy is just an animal. If he could stay healthy, if he could just play 140 games, he'd be right there. We got to get out of here. I got some NHL stuff we got to get to, but we'll continue this conversation. I love those calls. I'm a big Eloy Jimenez fan. He's 30-1. I don't think Luis Robert is there, but he is 70-1. And I think he's in for a breakout campaign. And I don't think Mookie Betts could do it either, but 90-1 for Mookie. I think the problem is the fact
Bellinger's there too. Bellinger's Dodgers, like, right? 90-1 too. So it's like those guys are interesting, but I mean, I'll spread 90-1. It's like
90-1, a little sprinkle, I mean, right?
Yeah.
We got to get out of here. Got a couple more minutes, get some NHL picks and some props as well. There was a question, Andrew. I saw Sale 18-1 for the Cy Young. So not bad, right? He gets off to a hot start. You're not going to get 18-1. So worth a sprinkle because we know what his upside is. All right. Some NHL picks here next on Mean Streets. Keep her locked. Welcome back in. Six games on the ice here. Got a couple NHL shot props, some picks, and some goal scorers towards the end. Jake Seeley in the house to ruin the picks, ruin the bets. Jake, I see what you're doing here. No, it's all good, Jake. You're fine, man. You're all good here. Let's start with the shot props. You know, you got the shot props. This is how we're going to start here. Mitch Marner over 2.5. Vladimir Tarasenko over 2.5. And Brent Burns over 2.5. So for Marner and Tarasenko, they're juiced just a little bit. I think you can put them into parlays and away you go. For Tarasenko, he's cleared 2.5. In 5 of his past 6. He's got a matchup here against the Flyers. They're inside the top 10 in shot attempts and shots allowed at 5-5 per 60, according to Natural Stat Trick. And then Marner, I mean, he's got a really good matchup here against Columbus. They've allowed the most shots at 5-5 per 60 over the last 4 weeks, and they're 4th in shot attempts allowed. And then Brent Burns has just cleared pretty consistently 6 of his last 7. No Erik Karlsson. He's playing anywhere from 23 to 28 minutes a night. He's getting a lot of ice time. As for Marner, he's cleared in 6 of his past 8. And you see the bonus there, Troy Terry. That's plus 130. He hasn't really cleared lately, but I love the matchup against the San Jose Sharks. So if you wanted to go Brent Burns, decent price, probably a little bit safer. But for Troy Terry, plus 130, San Jose has allowed the most shot attempts at 5-5 per 60 over the last month and 3rd in shots allowed. So I do like Troy Terry. Let's continue here. You got the picks for tonight. Minnesota in 60. Also off the top of the show, I like them on the puck line. The Blues in 60. The Flyers played last night in regulation. A pretty hard fought matchup against Carolina, but I'm going to take St. Louis in 60. Just too much goals here. 6.5. The Ottawa Senators don't really score goals. Like, they don't have a lot of offensive firepower. They're without Batherson. They're without Norris. I know Shabbat is coming back here. If Minnesota crushes them, then we get Minnesota puck line and in 60. It's not a hedge bet, but I just don't feel like we'll see a lot of offense. And then Toronto and Columbus over 6.5 goals. There have been at least 6 goals in 23 of Toronto's last 26 games, and the Blue Jackets are scoring. They've won 7 of their past 9 games. Berube is in between the pipes tonight, and he's got like 1 start in the last 5 years, so yikes. And then rapid fire quickly here, just want to give you the guys the goal scorers. You know I'm in on Terry, Tarasenko, Nylander, and then Matt Boldy, plus 300. You can also find his shot prop, 2.5, over at prizepicks.com. Use the promo code FTN. Boldy against the Sens here. I also like Kevin Fiala in that game as well. Thanks for taking the time to hang out. Kaprizov Taco Tuesday at 2.5 shots instead of 3.5. Corey, hammer that now and use that promo code FTN. Check out FTNDaily.com for the free Prize Picks pick tracker as well. Good luck on the ice. We'll talk to you more. Cheers.